Hola, hola, and welcome back to Vos Memos. In this episode, well, first of all, happy October. I hope you're getting into the season in whatever way you like to do. I know for me, I'll be making some pumpkin cheesecake bars, and I've been enjoying pumpkin spice chais whenever I can. So whatever way you like to get into the season, I hope you're enjoying it. In this episode of Vos Memos, I would like to talk about technology, respect, and representation in the workplace, specifically in the corporate space. But yeah, without further ado, let's get into this episode of Vos Memos. And today, my cozy treat is a apple tea with honey and a splash of milk. Make a little tea latte. I've really been enjoying having something cinnamon, something warm. So I think that's just kind of a perfect fall treat. But yeah, my first topic is, am I losing my job? And I don't mean my 9-to-5. I'm talking about this podcast. Google has announced and has now made publicly accessible its Notebook LM, which has a feature in it, if you haven't heard, that actually can create a podcast from uploaded PDFs. And I've tried it. It is pretty good, I would say, for what it's trying to do. They're really marketing it as more of a educational tool. Maybe your professor gives you a handout or you record a lecture. You can then upload that into the Notebook LM interface, and then it creates like a very dynamic mini-sode. I don't know what the length goes to. The one I fed it in, the most boring PDF I could find, which was a list of the pay periods for my last job, and then the date that you would get paid for that pay period. So literally just a table of dates. And it created like a 6-minute episode with two podcast hosts going back and forth. They were talking about like what it's like being in the consultant space and how your pay time won't necessarily correlate with the projects you're on because, you know, you're consulting. And they were using all of these podcast like transitions, like, oh, and the real kicker here is, or, oh, you know what you really need to pay attention to is. It felt very much like a TED Talk or a Radio Lab type show, which, to be fair, it is being marketed for education. But I've already seen like YouTube videos on how to automate a podcast, completely automate a podcast for your business or something like that using this tool. Meaning from start to finish, using AI to create the outline, feed it into Google LM, and then Google Notebook LM, and then upload that. Basically, just AI garbage. And so what's really troubling to me is just how quickly people jump on these AI tools as a way to do a quick side hustle, and they're just creating garbage. Like, it's been the same thing with AI art, where Etsy is now flooded with AI crochet patterns and AI, like, just downloadable content. And even Amazon, like, will have sticker packs with AI-created stickers that don't make any sense. They weren't even edited. Just have text that doesn't make any sense. You know, if you've played at all with any AI generation tool, you'll have experienced this where it's just not that good on the first round. And these tutorials are kind of claiming that you can just trust the AI to make something to represent your business online and in the podcast space. And it makes me really sad that our podcast community might soon be flooded with AI garbage. I felt like it was kind of the final frontier, one of the few spaces on the internet that wasn't tainted by AI, because we do have AI videos, which, I mean, depending on what genre we're talking about, like if it's deepfakes, those can be pretty good. But if it's just like completely generated by AI, those could be hit or miss. But either way, we have video content being created by AI. We definitely have a lot of image content and a lot of text content. And there's been pushback at every single one of those levels. So I'm waiting to see. Google LM is very new. I think it's only been available for, it's only been available for a couple weeks. I'm very curious to see what other podcasts are going, or like how other podcasts are going to react, because I've only really heard about it through the tech lens, which of course, if you're a tech podcast, you're just going to be reporting on it from that perspective, not really from like an actual like hosting perspective or like a personality podcast, like, which is where I would kind of consider this one. Just very curious. I think AI needs to stay in its lane and also like leave the personality and the engaging part of podcasting to podcasters. Because the one thing I did notice about just the quick snippet I did and generated, the hosts were very flat. Like, it just started sounding like if ChatGPT had a voice, where, I mean, no one needs to talk about a pay date timetable, like a pay scheduled timetable for 6 minutes. And I think that was a very interesting use case, because it's kind of an edge case where it's really the type of content that doesn't need to be talked about for that long. It could really be summarized in just a few sentences. Your pay period is 2 weeks and the paychecks lag behind by 1 week. And here's some notable holidays. So like, I remember in the snippet, it was actually talking about like, oh, and here's the catch. And then the other podcast host, air quotes around that, was like, oh, I'm hearing a but in there. Like, there's got to be a catch here. And, you know, they're just like pseudo riffing off each other. And she's like, it says, oh, and some pay dates fall on a holiday, but the company has your back and they've already planned that. And I'm like, okay, we don't need a whole segment about holidays. We don't. So it's very interesting. Of course, it's very new. So I'm sure there will be more customization in the future, like length, like duration. I think that would be a great feature. Just be like, I need a 1 minute summary. I need a 20 minute deep dive, kind of things like that. Especially depending on how long of a text you're feeding in. Mine was only one page and it was pretty sparse. So that's interesting to me, just seeing the technology emerge, but I am very concerned that people are going to abuse this and flood the already saturated podcast space with just garbage. And I feel like it's so hard to find podcasts. Even I talk to people and they're like, well, I'm just kind of stuck on like Call Her Daddy, like the top 3 podcasts that get recommended to me. Like, they're not really searching or seeking, and it's hard. It's not like, I don't know. It's just hard because they're all created by individual people. It's like blogging. They're very niche. So it's like really the best way to spread a podcast, I think, is word of mouth. That's how I found some of my favorites. And that's why I try to like share recommendations on here too when I find a good one, because even just searching for a subject in like Spotify, I'm like, not really finding what I want. And yeah, so I don't know. It's very interesting. I hope that there will be, at least for these big like podcast sources, like the ones that subscribe to all the RSS feeds and give you like your beautiful UIs, I hope that they have some kind of toggle to sift out the AI garbage, because that's just going to make it even harder to find podcasts. So hopefully I don't lose my job. I feel like I can be pretty funny and relatable. And the main thing, final point on this, is that podcasts are interesting because they're created by humans. Let's sit with that for a second. Podcasts are interesting because they are created by humans, meaning it's the personal anecdotes, it's the interview questions and the like conversating with people, And so that's why it's even like, it's almost misleading for Google to even call this feature a podcast because, well, it is like two AIs riffing off each other. They're not personal. They don't give any personal anecdotes to make it interesting. I was really lucky to have parents that let me like move in with them again and keep my expenses low. They didn't charge me rent. They weren't charging me for groceries. Like, it was a really sweet deal in some ways. But anyway, so I was at my first job. Wasn't really paying attention to the paychecks coming in. I was just, you know, doing my thing. First job. And my manager pulls me aside. Maybe like, I don't know, early in the job. And I also was on like medical leave for a little bit. So there were a couple different like interruptions, I would say, to my normal schedule. And for some reason, I had just not submitted a time card for like 2 months. I just completely forgot. And so in that way, that story would tie in so well to talking about like pay periods and being like, you need to set a reminder to turn in your time card and otherwise like you won't get paid, and here's a funny story about that. And so I think like the AIs don't have those because they're not people, and that's why I'm not that worried about like podcasts or podcasters or podcasts. Like, there's just AIs cannot replicate the human experience, which is what makes podcasting interesting. And that's why I listen to podcasts, at least, is to like hear people's stories and hear their views on things and their perspective. So I just thought about that just now. Like, that is just so dumb. Like, they just rambled on for 6 minutes about exactly what was in the document, did not stray away from it, did not really even give any helpful tips. It was just, here's what a pay period is, and here it is in your document. Honestly, like, I bet they were that, like, they were so close to just saying, like, pay period one from December 15th to December 30th. Pay period two from January 1st to January 15th. Like, it might have been like that, except I'm sure the algorithm that Google is using creates like a little bit of spice. But if you strip it back, they were basically just saying that. So very interesting innovation that's come out recently. And my work has almost every single AI tool blocked, but it hasn't blocked that one yet. I'm not going to upload anything to it at work because I don't want to get in trouble, but I just thought that's funny. It's like that new that my work doesn't even know about it. So that kind of brings me to my next topic, which is kind of one of my biggest pet peeves at work right now, is this thing called, and there's like this whole philosophical framework around it called nohello.com, where when your team's chatting and when you're Slacking, some people will say hi and nothing else. And they'll wait for you to respond, and then they'll give you like their whole question and whatever. And that creates a lot of waste. First of all, it wastes the, like, if you're chatting me hi, now I have to drop everything, chat you hi back, wait for you to finish typing. And like, I don't want to go back to my other task now because I don't know what you need. And I don't want to forget that we're talking. So it just creates like this forced like talking and extra layer of communication that does not need to be there. And so the idea behind No Hello is when you're chatting, it is just a quick chat. Like, we don't need to be like, good morning, how's your day? Like, maybe it sounds rude to people that started before like technology was so integrated into everyday communications, but honestly, like, IMs have been around for a while, so I don't really know like where it comes from, where people feel like they need to say hi before getting into the meat of the conversation. But I mean, my way of mitigating that feeling of like, I don't want to be rude and just demand things from people is I say hi in that same chat. Just hi, blah, 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 blah. And to me, like, that's just like an email, like treating it like an email. Like, I wouldn't send one email that says hi and then wait for somebody to respond and then give them my question. So I feel like chats are this should be the same way. And it drives me crazy because there's like certain people at work that will do this where they're like, hi, good morning. And then I have to like drop everything and respond to them right away because I don't know if their question is urgent or if it's an FYI or if it's just kind of like, at when you get a chance, can you do this? And now I have to find out. So, causes extra anxiety, undue anxiety, and it is a time waster. So, I've been wanting to talk about that for a while because it's just about respecting your coworkers' times. Like, everyone's busy. It's kind of a missed item, like etiquette like that, because I feel like email etiquette, you do have to pick that up, at least during college. But like Teams and Slack etiquette, that's just kind of on your own. And then even like onboarding processes don't really cover it. You just have to literally pick it up as you go. And some people have developed this, I would call it a bad habit of starting off as if it's like an actual conversation where you're like bumping into somebody in the hallway or something. Yeah. And then on top of that, I've been doing like a lean training with my team, which is all about like how can we find optimizations at every level of the company, of the project. And I feel like this is one of them. Like sending one less chat can free everyone up just that much more. Just some interesting like corporate philosophy, if you will. And then let's get in. I mean, that whole thing about when do you even learn these things, right? I think that really takes us into the next topic about representation in the workplace. And I came across this really troubling graph to me that broke down, and I'll link it in the description below so you can look at it. It shows from entry level to the C-suite which people are where in those seats, if that makes sense. So, for example, the first bar is entry level and it is 52% men overall, so any race of men, and then 42% women, and then just under 5% Latinas. So that's like a subset of the women. And the problem with that is that the population of Latinas in America is 9%. So we're just starting off at 5, and that's just at the entry level. And it just, the pipeline leaks from there. So manager Latinas are 3%, senior manager or director level Latinas are 2%, VP 1.5%, SVP 1.5%, and then C-suite is 1%. And so you can see like there's almost no Latinas at the top of that chart, at the top of the ladder. And I mean, I'm starting off at the bottom of that ladder, right? I'm like in the entry level, definitely not a manager yet. And so I'm just wondering, I'm like, I don't even see that many Latinas at work right now. And so, like, it is troubling to me that I'm going to be at some point in my career probably the only one there at that level. There won't be anyone else with me. And of course, like, the rest of the chart has women other than Latinas. So there will be other minority women, and there will be people of all kinds of backgrounds at every level at any company I'm at. But it is. There's something different about having somebody there that has some of those shared backgrounds and shared experiences. And it's also like about mentorship too. Like, how many times in my life have I had a Latina mentor? Mostly just my mom, and I love my mom. But yeah, like out in the wild, it's really hard to find people that are like you that can help guide you to that next level. And I feel like that's why I have to keep up with this podcast, honestly, is because one of the pillars of this podcast is talking about career and me like sending out my signals and like my perspective into the void that is the internet. Like, I'd hope that some other Latinas will find it and resonate and, you know, like see it's possible to keep going and find your space in corporate America, as culty and strange as it is. Because like there are good companies out there for Latinas, for diverse people. I think my company, I'm really excited to be part of their Hola network, which is like Hispanos, Latinos, and Amigos, which is really cute. I think it's a really cute acronym. But so like that's like a really good resource for me to like network with other Latinas and Latinos at my work, and then also reach out further beyond my work into the community and be that mentor for somebody. I haven't been able to be a mentor since I started contracting, and in the last episode we talked about I converted to full time, and so now I have a lot more access to like resources at work. But yeah, I felt very like project oriented when I was a contractor, which I really missed, like the people part of work. It made me like, I mean, when work is just work, that makes it so much harder than when work can be work plus like the people and like having a little office party and going to like a speaker event and all like the little nice things that actually make work fun. So I'm hoping now that like I'm full time, I can join like this network. There's like a women's interest network and there's like a young professionals network. So there's just a lot more opportunity to get connected with people at work. And then, like I said, beyond, I've already seen like a couple different mentorship opportunities come through in my inbox. And I'm super excited. Like, I mean, when I was working in higher ed, it was very easy to feel like a mentor because I was working with students, and it's very easy to inspire them, I feel like, just by giving your perspective on things. But it wasn't necessarily like an official mentoring role. And so I'm excited to find like a way to get more involved in the Minneapolis community and maybe be able to like be an official mentor to a student out there. So we'll see. I'm hopeful. And then I'm hopeful I can also just connect with a mentor myself. Like they've been promising me a mentor at work. We'll see if it happens. But yeah, I think giving back in that way of mentoring is so fulfilling. Anytime I've had the opportunity to be a mentor, that's always my favorite part of any job is the mentorship, both being mentored and then being a mentor. So, and I feel like that's where all my leadership skills come from too. So, like when I was an RA in college, like that a big part of it was mentoring people. And yeah, so I'm just excited to kind of be able to give back again. So yeah, like that brings us to the end of my planned topics. I want to give a quick update on my reading list because I mentioned I've got quite a bit of reading to do before the end of the year. I have finished two audiobooks, or I'm almost done with a second audiobook. The first one that I finished recently was called This Tender Land, which was based in Minnesota. It's a historical fiction about these boys that escape from an Indian training school where they like steal the Indian children and don't let them speak their native language. That kind of school, quote, school. And they escape from there and they're trying to just find relatives further south and just survive together. And it's very much like a retelling of the Odyssey, but from like a 12-year-old's perspective, that's like the main character. I would say it's a good read. It's definitely not a reread for me. Obviously, the premise is very depressing, and it did come off a little corny at times. Like, just very obvious lessons to be learned for the kids. But also, there's only so much nuance to be had when you're a kid. So I get, like, pros and cons. I ended up with, like, 3 stars on it because, I don't know, it dragged on for a bit, too. And it's kind of like Grapes of Wrath. Like, good book, right? Classic American staple. Very depressing. Very harsh. Very long. So I would put it in that realm. If you liked The Grapes of Wrath, then you probably will like this Tenderland. So that's what, like, one book down. I've got quite a number to go, like nine left for the year. I'm halfway through The 7-Year Slip, which is kind of the opposite of this Tenderland in many ways, where it is time travel romance. And it's also extremely corny at times, very cheesy. I think, I don't know, like, it might make me swear off reading romance novels if this is how cheesy they're going to be. Like, I need to find some romance novels that are a little bit more grounded in reality instead of the romance. Maybe the romance is just a side plot, subplot. I don't know. We'll see what my rating is for that one, but I think it's probably going to be in the 3-star range, depending on how the ending is. I don't know. So yeah, really enjoying audiobooks right now. But I have a physical stack of books to get to, so we'll see how it goes. I am in the middle of Eboo Patel's We Need to Build. That's the first one I started off in the stack, and I think I just need to skim through it because it's very textbook-like, I would say. I'm sure there's good tips in there, but probably need to skim a little bit faster. So yeah, I'll check back in 2 weeks. I think that's going to be my Tokyo trip. So we'll see how I end up doing it. Thank you so much for listening. And whatever platform you're listening on, please give a rating or subscribe or a like. And share the podcast if you can. If you liked it, recommend it to a friend. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye.